Wake up, America. It's Morning Air with John Morales.
Si, senor.
Sarah Tafoya.
Hey, that's my mom.
And Glenn Leverins.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day. That's how I know. This is Morning Air. On Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Si, senor. It's Friday, October 14th. Good morning and welcome back to the final hour of Morning Air on the memorial of St. Callistus, Pope and Martyr of the Church. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverin. Sarah is off today. Thomas is filling in and doing a great job this morning. Thanks so much for joining us across America here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. It's always a privilege to be with you as we get ready for yet another weekend. On Fridays, I always take a moment to remind you about the Sacred Heart of Jesus, something we always try to think about just for a moment on Fridays, as well as the passion and death of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if for whatever reason you haven't been plugged in, you haven't heard about it, once again, here at Relevant Radio, we are providing and giving away another beautiful nativity set. Can you believe it? This is something that we've been doing for a number of years. There's less than 7 weeks to go before the Advent season, and Christmas is going to be here before you can wink your eyes. This year, celebrate the Christmas season with a beautiful nativity set. 200 of them are being given away here by Relevant Radio, and these nativity sets are possible because of a very generous donor. They're hand-painted, and they're absolutely perfect for porches and for windows, and especially for the front yard of your home. Display the true, humble, and profound reason for the season, but you should do it today. You only have until midnight Central Time, October 16th, to sign up. So time is ticking away. Only a couple of days to go. In fact, today is the last business day to do it. So proudly welcome Christ into your heart and home this year. Sign up to win this morning at relevantradio.com/set. That's relevantradio.com/set for a chance to win a beautiful nativity set from Relevant Radio. And again, try to do it this morning. Want to bring in our news anchor, Glenn. Glenn, what are a few of the stories that are making headlines here this hour on this Friday morning?
Oh, John, the January 6th committee issued a subpoena now for former President Trump. He expects to make an announcement responding to that one way or the other at this hour this morning. The Democrat-controlled panel said that he was the driving force behind the Capitol riots on January 6th. And we'll see how he responds, John. It could be taking the Fifth. It could be just not showing up. Or he can kind of have his day to have his say.
It'll surely be interesting to see the reaction from President Trump and from his legal team. He's been saying all along that he's called it a witch hunt and has not thought that this whole hearing process has been fair because it's been so one-sided.
Yeah, it is a Democrat stack committee, and it's, you know, kind of set up in the run-up to the midterm elections, you know, whether Mr. Trump was planning to run for president or not. Many who are thinking about that for 2024 expected to make announcements in a few weeks right after the midterms and kind of, you know, check the wind and take the lay of the land and all of that stuff. And so I'm sure there's hope that this could affect that. But, you know, there's kind of enough mystery as to, you know, why all of those documents were there and how they were handled. And so it would be nice to see the ultimate truth come out.
Do you think the American people are more concerned about the economy, inflation, what's going on, than this January 6th committee hearing?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Surveys show the economy very much in the forefront of folks' minds as they head to the polls, as well as abortion, especially pro-lifers wanting to hold off. I mean, every ad you see, it seems, for Democrats these days is really touting abortion, at least in Minnesota, where I'm getting to see those.
They've put the abortion eggs into the basket, and we'll see how it works out for them. And we'll especially get a feeling tonight with a big debate down in Georgia. What's happening down in Georgia tonight?
Of course, the last 2 years, John, the Senate's been split 50-50, so each seat is important for each party in a big battle set up between former football star Herschel Walker and the man who's been filling out that seat for the last couple of years, Reverend Raphael Warnock. And Warnock up by about 7 points in the latest Quinnipiac poll right now, and Mr. Walker facing some allegations about possibly funding an abortion. He denies that. A debate coming up tonight, and things are said to be closer than those 7-point poll margins would have.
Just like in football, the clock is ticking. We're down to 25 days and counting before the big midterms now. Speaking of football, Glenn, I know you stayed up late last night. Another NFL Thursday night football game between the Washington Commanders and the Chicago Bears.
Well, it was a team that had lost four in a row in Washington, and the Bears been struggling a bit this year, and there was a struggle to score touchdowns, as there have been for a few weeks on Thursday night games, which just is a coincidence. But second half was a pretty close one, came down to a goal line bobble and catch, but about an inch short for Chicago there, and Washington hung on to win that one 12-7.
And the game-winning touchdown was by a former Alabama Crimson Tide rookie, Brian Robinson, who took it in from a yard out. A big moment for him. Wasn't he the player that was shot recently?
I don't know offhand, John. I don't know.
Okay, yeah, I'm not 100% sure either. Either way, the Commanders won that game. Glenn, as always, it's a joy.
Hey, sure thing, John.
Thanks so much. We begin every hour in prayer, always giving thanks to our Lord for all the many blessings through the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of the unborn and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. Saint Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, pray for us. Saint John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And every morning here on Morning Air, we invoke the Holy Spirit when we pray, "Come, Holy Spirit, come." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our power scripture from the playbook of life this morning is from John 11, 25 and 26. Jesus the Lord says, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." Do you believe these words of our Lord Jesus Christ in the gospel? Through his death and resurrection, the faithful will rise from the dead and enter eternal life. This is our faith. If we believe in Christ, we will live forever in heaven with our Lord, our Lady, and all the angels and saints and all of our loved ones. And we always pray with great confidence that powerful prayer from the Divine Mercy Chaplet, "Jesus, I trust in you." As always, you can find us on Twitter at Morning Air Show, as well as on Facebook, and our number if you want to be part of the program, 888-914-9149. Now, something that we've been talking about here during this month of October, Respect Life Month. We are reminded that life is such a big, beautiful gift that God gave each one of us to live, to cherish, to take care of, to love him and to love others around us. Can you imagine if your mother had said no to your life and had taken away that gift from you and that gift from me? It's unthinkable. But imagine a life without you, like George Bailey did in the classic movie, It's a Wonderful Life.
Why am I seeing all these strange things?
Don't you understand, George? It's because you were not born.
Well, if I wasn't born, who am I?
You've been given a great gift, George. A chance to see what the world would be like without you. You see, George, you really had a wonderful life. Don't you see what a mistake it would be to throw it away?
Yeah. We've all been given a great gift. What a powerful message from this classic movie, It's a Wonderful Life. Life is worth living, as Bishop Sheehan said so many times. Now, we're always reminded that every day is a gift. Joining us live from the Chicago area is our regular contributor, Mary Helen Fiorito, to share some stories of women who have said yes to life. Mary is an attorney, public speaker, and commentator on issues involving Catholic Church teachings, administration, and religious freedom. She holds the position of Cardinal Francis George Fellow at both the Ethics and Public Policy Center and the DeNicolo Center for Ethics and Culture at the University of Notre Dame. Good morning, Mary. Thanks so much for joining us. It's good to be with you once again, especially here in the midst of Respect Life Month.
Good morning, John, and good morning to all of your listeners.
Mary, I just love the movie. It's a Wonderful Life. I hope you enjoyed that short little clip.
Oh, I did very much. It's not Christmas Eve if it's not A Wonderful Life on the television. So thank you. It's just such a beautiful movie, isn't it? And in so many ways. And it never, no one gets tired of it. That's one of the beautiful things about it. If you can watch it year after year, and it never gets old, because I think, as you pointed out, the message is timeless. Life is a gift.
Life is a gift, and if we just imagine for a moment what life would be like if we weren't born. And, you know, the reality is, and something that we can meditate on here in this Respect Life Month, is that 64 million plus unborn children have not been born since 1973 and Roe v. Wade. And yet, for the majority of people, it's very difficult to even put your head around what that number actually means.
Yeah, and I just, you know, as you said that, I have a close friend, actually, who is a professor at a university here in Chicago and had invited me to come and to speak to his class at one point. And his children are both adopted, and he's a very, very educated, erudite man. He went to Harvard and everything, you know. And so I don't think his students had ever seen him emotional for a second, but he began to talk about his kids, you know, that his children were adopted, and he said, I just think if their moms had chosen differently, no one would ever have seen their faces. And he started to cry. He just broke down in front of the students, who were, and they were all very kind and compassionate. But it was really just a moment where, you know, the enormity of what that decision means. I mean, here are these two beautiful young men who are his sons, because a birth mother was courageous enough to choose, first of all, to choose life for her child, and then to choose an adoption plan when she knew that she probably wasn't the best person to raise them. So it just brings it all into very sharp focus, and we're hearing so much from the Biden administration in particular, and all these stories in the media about women who wanted to get abortions and couldn't, and how other women are trying to help, you know, pregnant women evade the law in certain states where there are now protections for unborn children by, you know, shipping them abortion pills, et cetera, et cetera. You're hearing all these stories, but, you know, you're not hearing stories on the other side about the beauty of choosing life and about the goodness that can come from a woman who's choosing life. There's a study that the abortion advocates use a lot, and your readers and listeners, rather, have probably heard it or read it in the paper. It's called the Turnaway Study, and it was done by the Guttmacher Institute, which is the former research arm of Planned Parenthood, and the researcher is very much an advocate of abortion, and she surveyed a fairly significant number of women who had wanted to get abortions but for whatever reason couldn't get the money together, had logistical delays, you know, were past, say, a 30-week ban in some states, you know, so they couldn't get the abortion that they wanted when they wanted to. And so she follows them a year later and sees how they're doing on a number of different metrics, psychological and, you know, financial, et cetera. And many of them weren't doing well because the problems that had driven them to think about abortion in the first place wouldn't have been solved with the abortion, and they weren't solved with the birth of the child either. I mean, if she was in an abusive relationship, that doesn't go away because of the abortion or because of the birth. But at any rate, when she spoke to them 5 years later, 96% of the women in that study, 96%, said that they were glad that they didn't have the abortion. They had bonded with their child. They loved their child. they were happy that something was in the way and stood between them and that abortion clinic that day. So it's really very telling. And you know what we always say at in pregnancy centers, when we're faced with a crisis pregnancy, we eliminate the crisis. We don't eliminate the child, because we know that abortion is a permanent solution to a temporary problem. And even pro-abortion studies bear that out.
That is so amazing. Something coming from Guttmacher, 96% were glad that they chose life. And this is something that you know firsthand, because I know you spent time volunteering at a pregnancy center, one of the 4,000 pregnancy centers across our country. Mary, can you give us just a feeling of what that experience was like?
Oh, it's such a great privilege. It's one of those things where you sign up thinking you're going to be helpful to other people, and you wind up getting so much more out of it than the people you think you're helping. But yeah, so for 20 years, I served on the board of directors and a volunteer at Aid for Women, which is a pregnancy center, a number of pregnancy centers in Chicago, a network of them. And we also have two maternity homes, one for women when they are expecting and the baby is a newborn, and then a transitional home where women move to when the child's a toddler and they're getting ready to move towards their own apartment and independence, et cetera, et cetera. And I could just tell you, oh my goodness, I picked a couple of my favorite stories because there's so many. But just to give your listeners a little bit of a taste of what it's like to help a woman who's in that kind of situation, but also the joy and the beauty and the way that God works when we say yes to what we know is the right thing to do, how God then goes to work and makes a way where no way seems possible, as the scripture says. We had one woman, I'll just call her Sue because I don't want to use her given name, but she was from China, and she had had her first child. They had a second child, but they didn't register the child with the government, which was the requirement for families who had more than one child. So that child didn't have a government ID. Then she became pregnant a third time, which would have meant disaster for her family. I mean, she showed us billboards that we had translated from the province where she lived in China, essentially, you know, saying beware of families with more than two children or more than one child, and this is a destruction to the community, et cetera, et cetera. So housing is impacted. For example, families who have two children are not eligible for some of the government subsidized housing in China. I mean, it really is draconian what's done to families. And so she got on a plane. She knew nobody. She flew to Chicago. She was staying at the Days Inn Motel near O'Hare Airport and looked online for, help for pregnant mothers, and found Aid for Women. And she lived with us for 3 years. With the help of people we knew in government, we were able to get her asylum. We were able to get her family over here, her husband and her two children, who she didn't see by the time we got them in almost 4 years. And she had a beautiful little daughter here, and then her son and her other daughter and her husband joined her, and now they have a fourth child. They have another little boy now, and they're an intact family. They're on their way to American citizenship. But you just think of the courage of that woman, knowing no one and knowing very minimal English, getting on a plane to come to Chicago to save her child.
What a tremendous blessing. And just just one of many, many examples of pregnancy centers, the great work that Aid for Women has done over the years, but of pregnancy centers in general, how they really bring women real hope, real options, and not just abortions like Planned Parenthood.
Oh, right. No, I mean, abortion, it's a quick fix solution. Again, as I mentioned, a few minutes ago, it doesn't solve any of the problems that led the woman to the abortion clinic in the first place. And that's why, John, that's one of the reasons that the repeat rate for abortions in the United States is so high. 50% of all abortions are a second, third, or fourth abortion for a woman. And usually that second abortion happens within a year of the first abortion, because the abortion doesn't solve any of the problems. And so that's why we want to be able to meet women where they are, to look at where their life is. You know, again, if they're in an abusive relationship, we can help them get out of that abusive relationship. We intentionally don't publish the addresses of our pregnancy center maternity homes, because some of the women who live there are fleeing abusive either husbands or boyfriends. And so, you know, we can work towards getting, orders of protection for women who need them. We can, if she is not finished with her schooling, we can help her arrange to get a GED. I mean, there's a lot that we can do, and there's so many people who want to help. And that's what I think has surprised so many of our clients. You know, one of them said, this is the, one of the most recent clients we had, she said, if it wasn't for Aid for Women, I would be dead, because she was pregnant, she was using drugs, and she said she moved into our maternity home, and she said, I couldn't get over that they were giving me everything I needed, my food, my clothing. They were, you know, taking me out on, you know, to movies and things like that so I could do things socially, and none of them were getting anything out of it. She was astounded by that. She had just lived in a world that was so, I guess, transactional, where you didn't do something nice for somebody unless you were going to get something out of it. She couldn't believe that people were just selflessly giving of themselves, and now she has completely turned her life around. She had her criminal drug record expunged, and now she wants to be a sonographer and at work at Aid for Women, giving ultrasounds to our pregnant clients who come in.
Fantastic. I so much appreciate your witness, your experiences. You've been there on the front lines, and you've seen firsthand the great work of pregnancy centers and Aid for Women. Mary, as always, it's a joy to be with you.
Oh, joy. Joy to be with you and your listeners always, and have a enjoy these beautiful October days while they last.
Thank you, Mary. Mary Helen Fiorito, you can find her on Twitter, at Mary Fiorito. We need to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to be joined by spiritual director Father James Wallace to talk about Saint Teresa of Avila and her inspiration to other Saint Teresa. So stay with us as Morning Air continues on this Friday morning here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Wake up, America. It's Morning Air
with John Morales, Sarah Tafoya, and Glenn Leverett.
And welcome back to Morning Air from our new Relevant Radio studios and headquarters in Lincolnshire, Illinois, just north of Chicago. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn. Sarah's enjoying a day off, but young Thomas is doing a great job here this morning, filling in as our studio producer. Thanks so much for joining us and for being with us here on this Friday, the memorial of St. Callistus, Pope and Martyr of the Church. Our number, if you want to be part of our conversation, 888-914-9149. Now I want to switch gears. Tomorrow we celebrate the memorial feast of a very big saint. Saint Teresa of Avila, 16th century Spanish nun and mystic. Teresa was born into nobility. Saint Teresa felt the tug of Christ and joined the Carmelite order. She is the first female doctor of the church. Joining us live this morning is Father James Wallace for much more on Saint Teresa of Avila and her inspiration to other Saint Teresas. Father James is the pastor of Saint Paul of the Cross Parish in Park Ridge, Illinois. He serves as a canon lawyer for the Archdiocese of Chicago, a dean in Vicariate II, and a professor of canon law and a spiritual director at Mundelein Seminary as well. Good morning, Father James. Thanks so much for joining us once again. It's great to be with you this morning.
Good to be with you, John. Good morning, everyone. God bless you on this Friday.
Father James, full disclosure, I got to tell you, we love our new studios up here in Lincolnshire, but I really miss walking across the street from our old Park Ridge studio and going to daily mass there at the beautiful, good old St. Paul of the Cross.
We miss you guys too, but we're happy you're settled and continuing the good mission.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's not like we said goodbye forever. I'm still come by from time to time whenever I can. Father James, let's talk about the life of Saint Teresa of Avila. Can you give us kind of a brief synopsis on this great doctor of the church? Who was Saint Teresa of Avila, Santa Teresa de Avila?
Sure. She was, as you said, a 16th century Spanish female religious sister, nun, mystic, founder, or we should say refounder. So she was born in 1515, and like you said, from nobility, just one of the most incredible female saints our church has ever seen. She really took the spiritual life around this time, so the high medieval period, early Renaissance, to a whole new level with Carmelite spirituality. She was partnered up with St. John of the Cross who I'm sure many of us know as well. And 400 years later, we're still reaping the benefits of her mystic spirituality. She wrote three monumental works: her biography, The Way of Perfection, and The Interior Castle. And like you said, she's one of the doctors of the church.
Well, she has so much to contribute to this day here, hundreds of years later. Can you explain why there was a need for reform for the Carmelites at that time to begin with?
Sure. So the Carmelites, actually, they would claim to be the oldest religious order in the world, even though traditionally we think it's the Benedictines in the 5th century with St. Benedict. The Carmelites go all the way back to the Old Testament, to Elijah and Elisha atop Mount Carmel. These were the two prophets, but they were mystics. And so, but throughout the centuries, and then after Christ, of course, there's a group of men and women, hermits, on Mount Carmel. Some even think the Blessed Mother would have visited them during her time. They were called the Hermits of St. Mary. Well, anyways, the order really comes into the way we know it in the 11th century with St. Simon Stock, so the brown scapular that I'm sure many of us have or are familiar with. But like most religious orders, they have a fervor right at the beginning and then a decline as they grow maybe lax and are given more wealth from surrounding nobility and the world. And so come the 16th century, there's dire need for reform of the Carmelite order. They're losing the mission of contemplation of the face of Jesus and the interior life. So Teresa's given an inspiration by God to go around and reestablish, refound many of the convents in the Spanish countryside, getting the women to be contemplatives, but also dynamic actors in the world. So she combines the beautiful element of the Martha and Mary, the contemplative and the active, beautiful experiences of prayer interiorly, but then she goes out and she's a great administrator. She's a tough woman, like many of the female religious sisters that we know of, like Mother Cabrini and so forth. So she just, is a monumental player. And like I said, we still study her theology, her spirituality.
She was very determined from everything that I've heard from the very beginning, from the time she was a young girl. She had figured out a way of getting exactly what she wanted. She had that dogged determination.
Right. She was a great personality, too. Many say she was a beautiful woman. She would stay sometimes in the entryway of a convent, and she would talk to a lot of the pilgrims and a lot of the passersby and the homeless who were coming, the beggars, and everyone just said she was a great engaging, dynamic speaker, evangelizer. But then she would go off with these beautiful mystical experiences, ecstatic union with God, infused contemplation is a term that we get from Teresa, the interior castle or mansion of the heart.
What impressed you the most about her spirituality?
So what's going on at this time is essentially, just to put it down to a nutshell, people are losing the sense of Christ as, let's just say, a friend. So Teresa's big image is simply prayer is conversation with a friend. I mean, if we could just put all her complex theology into a nutshell. So relating to Jesus and experiencing authentic, pure love in the depths of your soul for the tremendous lover that Christ is. And so that people have been losing touch of the face of Jesus, of the person of Jesus, kind of getting lost maybe in the externals. So Teresa brings it back to that focus. And what's amazing then is we're going to see St. Margaret Mary, whose feast day we celebrate on Sunday. She's a century later. She has the apparition of the Sacred Heart. Of course, we know St. Therese of Lisieux. She's inspired by St. Teresa of Avila. Her feast day was a couple weeks ago. Mother Teresa of Calcutta. It's just this like ripple effect. I guess you could say Christ is the center, and Teresa is one of the outer rings, and John of the Cross, and then so many after her. So many of us want to love Jesus the way Teresa did.
We think of St. Teresa as the big Teresa and St. Therese, the little flower, as the little Teresa.
Sure, right? And, you know, 400 years later, 300 years later, her little way. And It's funny, at St. Paul of the Cross, and by the way, Paul of the Cross's feast day is coming up next week. I always say October is really the fall classic. We have so many incredible saints here in this stretch. At St. Paul of the Cross, we have a statue of Thérèse of Lisieux, the little flower, and it's right by our handicap entrance with an elevator, which is just coincidence, but Thérèse had the image of the elevator. All we got to do is hop on the elevator simply, and the Holy Spirit will take us up into the heart of God. Just simple little acts of service and love and commitment to Jesus, and he'll do the rest.
Can you think of a few examples of how St. Thérèse of Lisieux and even St. Mother Teresa were specifically inspired by the life of St. Thérèse of Ávila?
Well, for Mother Teresa, founding her religious congregation, and Teresa of Ávila, I mean, doing this in a, I mean, it's never been easy, I guess, to be a woman in the world, but I mean, her, just like you said, her dogged determination going up against the hierarchy, maybe when it wasn't popular for a woman to take the reins, to found convents and have a bold spirituality and be a doctor of the church. So right there, again, just a courageous woman, but always following the will of God, discerning, Lord, what is it that you want me to do? That's what Mother Teresa does when she hears Jesus say, I thirst, and she discerns the will of God for her is to found the missionaries of charity, and she has the boldness, the gifts of the Holy Spirit to go and do it. So that's certainly one way. And then Thérèse of Lisieux wants that intense mystical experience of knowing Jesus and having a revelation of Jesus' heart, and being able to communicate that revelation to others. So Teresa of Ávila, of course, did that, and then Thérèse will do that. Another doctor of the church with her little way. Christ will show her his heart and what he wants the people to know about him.
Well, I am highly inspired by both Big Thérèse and Little Thérèse. St. Teresa of Ávila, obviously, as you described, made prayer very simple, that conversation with a friend. But her words about God alone sufficing are so inspiring. I know that they have touched countless people in the centuries since her life.
Mm-hmm. And there is another, just to finish up the ripple, there's a St. Teresa de los Andes, who's the first canonized saint of Chile, likewise inspired by Thérèse of Lisieux, Teresa of Ávila. She was a Carmelite. She died at age 20. She says, I believe holiness consists in love. I wish to be holy, therefore I will give myself to love. Whoever loves has no will except that of the beloved. I wish to offer myself constantly as a victim so that I become like the one who suffered for me and loves me. So again, another beautiful Teresa, if you will, in the lineup.
Of the Andes. I'm not real familiar with that saint, Father, but thank you. I want to just share real briefly that little prayer that I alluded to a second ago from St. Teresa of Ávila. Let nothing disturb you. Let nothing frighten you. All things are passing away. God never changes. Patience obtains all things. Whoever has God lacks nothing. God alone suffices. There is so much there that we can take away and apply in our lives today.
God alone suffices. One other last point I'll make is Teresa was a big proponent of spiritual direction, and that's something I take near and dear to my ministry. And it's incredible. Her spiritual directors, many of them went on to become saints. St. John of the Cross was her spiritual director. St. Francis Borgia, a Jesuit, was her spiritual director. St. Peter Alcantara, Franciscan spiritual director. It's important to have a companion on the spiritual life, the journey.
Father, I'm sure you never imagined when you were playing high school football that one day you would be a spiritual director listening to the words of St. Teresa of Ávila.
No, but the love of God, it's like that's all that suffices. It's better than any love there is.
Amen. We'll have to leave it right there. Father James, thank you so much. It's so good to hear your voice again. Thanks for being with us.
God bless you, John. God bless you all. Have a wonderful week in this October month.
Many blessings to you. Father James Wallace, the pastor of St. Paul of the Cross Parish in Park Ridge, Illinois, in the Archdiocese of Chicago. Coming up after a short break, you're going to meet Father Ramil Fajardo, the rector of the National Shrine of St. Francis Xavier Cabrini, and He'll tell you about a statue of Mother Cabrini, as she's known, that will be unveiled on Saturday at Holy Name Cathedral. Stay with us. There's much more to come here on Morning Air as we continue on this Friday morning on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. The Relevant Radio studio line is sponsored by the Catholic Order of Foresters Flexible Premium Life Insurance. For less than $12 a month, a 40-year-old can get $500,000 of coverage. Go to relevantradio.com/Forester today. An Illinois Life Insurance Society, not available in all states. And welcome back to Morning Air. I absolutely love that hymn as we are approaching the month of the saints, the month of November. But there's plenty of saints here in the month of October as well. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverins. Thanks so much for joining us as we are headed down the stretch, the final segment of Morning Air here on this Friday morning on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Our number, if you want to be part of the conversation, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Now I want to tell you about a special event that's happening tomorrow, October 15th, at Holy Name Cathedral in Chicago, for any of you who are in the Midwest. There's going to be a special mass celebrating the life and legacy of Mother Cabrini and the unveiling of a newly commissioned statue in her honor. Mother Cabrini is the universal patron saint of immigrants and the first American citizen to be canonized. We remember her lifelong service to the poor. In 35 years, Francis Xavier Cabrini founded 67 institutions dedicated to caring for the poor, the abandoned, the uneducated, and the sick. Joining us live from Chicago is Father Ramil Fajardo, the rector of the National Shrine of St. Francis Xavier Cabrini, with much more on this special event tomorrow. Good morning, Father Fajardo. Welcome to Morning Air. It is a joy to be with you here this morning.
Good morning, John. Thank you very much. It's a it's an honor to be with you this morning to celebrate Mother Cabrini.
Well, Father Fajardo, full disclosure, I was actually born at Columbus Hospital in Chicago, founded by Mother Cabrini. Can you believe it? Way back in 1905. And to add to the puzzle, I was baptized at Holy Name Cathedral. How do you like that?
Oh, wow. You better be here tomorrow.
Born on Easter Sunday also. Yeah, it's really, you know, there's no accidents with our Lord, as you know.
No, there never is. There never is.
For sure. Just a real kind of a funny tale. The sisters there at Columbus Hospital told my mom the day that I was born, because I was born on Easter Sunday, that I should have been called Pascual instead of Juan in Spanish.
Pascual, that's very good. You know, the sisters are always thinking evangelization.
Absolutely, for sure. Well, let's talk about this great champion of the poor. Can you tell us a little bit about the life of St. Francis Xavier Cabrini, affectionately known as Mother Cabrini?
Mother Cabrini was born in 1850 and died here in Chicago on December 22nd, 1917, coming from Italy at the request of Pope Leo XIII. She had dreamt of becoming a missionary to go to China, and she and her sisters were, just like, I believe you were talking to Father Wallace just earlier, just like Teresa of Avila, she dreamt of doing more. Right? The evangelical heart just can't stay in one place. So Mother Cabrini asked Pope Leo XIII, Holy Father, send us to China. Send us to do missionary work. And Pope Leo XIII said, not to the East, but to the West. Your fellow Italian immigrants are really having a difficult time in the United States, in New York City. And so, instead of the East, to the West. And Mother showed up one day, and she said, here we are, ready to begin. And let's just say that the welcome was not quite the embrace she expected. And she was basically told, we really can't help you. And she said, well, we're not going anywhere, and we're here to do the Lord's work. by the Holy Father himself. And so, simply like all the great saints, they began. Simply began. And she immediately started collecting friends and benefactors and also enemies. People just simply didn't understand what's the point of all this. But that did not stop her, and especially for a woman who was absolutely petrified of water. The story goes that as a young girl, she almost drowned, and so therefore had a fear of water. But imagine her crossing the oceans how many dozens of times to found institutions, schools, orphanages, hospitals, both in the United States and in Central South America.
And we're talking about a reported 67 institutions, including Columbus Hospital in Chicago. I read up a little bit about how she bought this old hotel and made it into a hospital. I mean, she was amazing.
Absolutely. Nothing should stand in the way of the Lord, because it's all his money. He'll find the money because he wants it done. And every single saint said the exact same thing.
It sounds so much like in this day and age, we've heard from other saints who have had that same philosophy, that it's all God's money, you know, God provides.
Exactly. And that's the model for us as evangelical Catholics these days. You know, people doing apostolate, looking at mission. What inspired the statue was the fact that Cardinal Supich had mentioned at the consecration of our last three bishops here in Chicago, Cardinal Supich pointed out that he and Pope Francis look at Mother Cabrini as really a model for us as clergy. And he gave his three new bishops the example of Mother Cabrini, that the work is to make Christ better known. And it's his Sacred Heart that, again, just like all the saints, not me, but him. The saints always point to the Lord.
No question about it. Father Fajardo, Mother Cabrini really became better known when she was canonized. It became the first American citizen to be canonized a saint right after World War II in 1946. I'm literally looking at a photograph of Soldier Field here in Chicago, the same Soldier Field where the Bears play. 120,000 people come out to honor Mother Cabrini. I mean, you talk about being loved.
Right. And also being on fire, because our Catholic folk really, really knew their faith. And 120,000 for Mass, they filled Soldier Field. Now, folks, come on. If we can do that for Soldier Field, what about coming to your parish church? You know, let's meet the Lord again.
Absolutely. Father, can you tell us a little bit about the National Shrine of St. Francis Xavier Cabrini, which was closed for a decade and is back open again as of 2012, a big event, I remember, with Cardinal George on hand?
Absolutely. The hospital was merged with St. Joseph and was brought in together under a Catholic medical organization. And Columbus Hospital was therefore phased out. But when Cardinal Strich consecrated the chapel in 1955, he saw that this had the potential and called it a national shrine in honor of St. Francis Xavier Cabrini. So when the hospital was closed and merged, the buildings came down, but the shrine was kept for the purposes of making retaining the memory of Mother Cabrini. But what we're working on right now is the idea that Mother Cabrini is not a beautiful statue, not a photograph. Mother Cabrini is Christ's spirit moving on this earth, and it's Christ himself through Mother, through her sisters, through her lay associates, who are touching the poor, who are educating those who need education, helping the immigrants. It was in 1950 that Pope Pius XII called her Mater Immigrantium, Mother of Immigrants. 1950.
Wow, that's amazing. Tell us a little bit about this big event tomorrow. Obviously, the statue is going to be dedicated, honoring Mother Cabrini. There's going to be a special mass there at Holy Name Cathedral.
The statue itself is a very generous gift from a benefactor, a donor of ours, who said Mother was at Holy Name, she should be visible. And so she made a promise. can I make a donation of this beautiful statue? And sure enough, here we are, dedicating her statue. I can even look out my window and I can see the wrapped statue ready to be unveiled on Saturday and 12 noon at Holy Name Cathedral. And it was just a wonderful gift, a reminder. Mother Cabrini walked these exact same streets. She knew this place.
Are there any seats still available for this big event at Holy Name Cathedral for our listeners in the Chicago area?
Come one, come all. There are always plenty of seats, and if not, we will make them.
There you go, Father. What about for yourself personally, since Mother Cabrini is really a model, not only for priests, but for all of us, but for you, what does it mean for you to be the rector of this national shrine dedicated to Mother Cabrini?
I'm still discovering my role, but the most important thing is to echo John the Baptist. He, our Lord, must increase, I will decrease. And all we have to do is bring people to our Lord.
A final thought on what we can take away from the passion and the spirituality of Mother Cabrini, who did so much while she was alive.
Love the Lord very much. We will always have work on this earth, but we have to guard our faith, and not only that, treasure it and make it living, a real example for everyone to see.
Well, she was no question a living example, as someone who loved the Lord. And obviously, anybody that can get 120,000 people to pack into Soldier Field, that's like two Bears games all rolled into one.
Exactly, exactly. And it's all about love of our Lord and His mother and the saints.
That's really what it's all about. If someone's interested in coming to this special mass and an event tomorrow at Holy Name Cathedral, what should they do?
You can look on the website for Holy Name Cathedral or call 312-787-8040, general number for the cathedral, and inquire about seating. And like I said, we've got plenty of room.
All right. Plenty of room, 312-787-8040. Father Fajardo, it has been a joy to be with you here this morning. I so much appreciate you taking the time.
Thank you, John, very much, and God bless you and all your listeners. Thank you, Relevant Radio.
Thank you. Father Ramil Fajardo, the rector of the National Shrine of St. Francis Xavier Cabrini, Mother Cabrini. Now it's time for yet another episode of Glenn's Story Corner.
Our story today is called Wet Eyes by Joseph Mazzella. I was looking through some old photo albums the other day. I'd already looked through them many times before, but I felt a sudden urge to see those old pictures again. I found myself reliving so many beautiful memories from my childhood. There was my dear Nana giving me a bath when I was a baby. There was me and my brother standing in front of the world's ugliest Christmas tree. There was my first dog, Duke, snuggled up next to me on the couch. There was my beautiful mom holding me on her lap. Then all of a sudden, the pictures started to seem blurry. I realized the pictures were blurry because my eyes were moist. Tears were dripping down my cheeks. I wiped my wet eyes and wondered what was going on. I hadn't cried the last time I looked at those pictures. What was different now? I soon saw that it was I who was different. Since I had last looked through those photos, I had grown. My empathy had risen. My compassion had strengthened. My spirit had walked a little further down the path of love. I realized, too, that wet eyes were nothing to be ashamed of as long as they came with a warm heart. I smiled and closed the photo album once again. I felt Mom and Nana smiling down on me from heaven. I felt my Heavenly Father's love inside of me and all around. Leo Biscaglia once said, "I'm not afraid to cry. It cleans out my eyeballs." I think it cleans out our insides as well. It helps us to wash away our pain, fear, and grief. It helps us to reconnect to our love, goodness, and oneness with God. It helps us to become who we were meant to be. The next time you feel your own tears starting, then just let them flow. Life is full of smiles. Life is full of tears. Only by allowing them both can we truly live. Only by embracing them both can we truly love. John 11:35, Jesus wept.
Glenn, as always, thanks so much for another powerful story corner. Now, during this month of the Holy Rosary, honor Our Lady and our Blessed Lord by praying the Family Rosary across America with Father Rocky, 7 p.m. Central tonight and every night of the week here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Remember, the family that prays together stays together. That'll do it for this Friday edition of Morning Air. For Glenn Leverins, for producers Gabby Burke, Thomas Engesser, and our entire Morning Air team, I'm John Morales. Thanks so much for joining us. Let your light shine before all. God bless America. Have a great weekend. We'll see you on the next Morning Air. The Patrick Madrid Show is straight ahead.